Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the number one sports podcast in the Metro Detroit area. I'm your host, Connor. This is Teeing It Up with C and V. It's a very special episode as I'm here with my co-host, the V of C and V, Vladdy. What's going on, man? We're also joined by a very special guest who I'll introduce in a second. But for now, Vladdy, what's going on, man?
Not much. I was in Indianapolis this past weekend for the Indy 500. Had a blast doing that. It was unlike any other sporting event that I've kind of really seen. It was a lot of, I guess it's kind of like how fast your horses would be. I've never gone, so I don't know, but it was kind of just like, I don't want to say a redneck's paradise, but it was really just like, go have fun and do whatever you want. They actively encouraged everybody to bring their own coolers. So we just walked in there with a couple coolers with all of our alcohol. And I mean, that's just a bad business model if you're trying to run a sport, as every other sport just says, hey, here's a $15 beer, go screw yourself. The kind of the way they're set up is not like that. So I was very impressed with that. Indianapolis, I was kind of impressed as well as the city. Not that big, but pretty clean. We were in a nice part of town, kind of right near both Gainbridge Fieldhouse and Lucas Oil Stadium. So had a really good time. Obviously, we head for Nashville tomorrow or today when people see this, when it's out tomorrow morning. But I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. Like you said, taking off for out of town this weekend myself. Well, I guess all three of us on this podcast are. I had a nice chill weekend, went up north, helped my dad with some projects around, got the boat in, enjoyed the Memorial Day weekend, had a couple boat beers, pretty casual, nothing crazy. I guess I was going to ask about the Indy 500. So how far away or out of town is the actual track from downtown Indy?
So it's about 4 to 5 miles outside of the city to the west. And it's funny because especially once you get to the end, it's really just one road leading up to it. And there's just absurd amounts of traffic. So we got into an Uber. We got about 1.5 miles out. And it was like, yeah, your estimated time in this Uber will be 45 minutes. And it's like, well, we're just going to get out and walk at that point because there's no reason. But it's funny because that walk is through a pretty sketchy part of town where if there wasn't 300, 400, 500,000 people also making that walk with you and going right there, you would probably be sitting there saying, we should not be walking through this part of Indy. But again, super, super fun. It's something I would actually like highly recommend for people, even if they're not kind of racing fans, just because you can do so much. There was a massive rain delay. What we ended up doing during the rain delay was there's actually a golf course that has three holes in the infield. So we were just sitting there with our raincoats playing soccer with a golf ball on the fairway, just getting assaulted by the rain. And it felt like we were kids again. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Now, my last question on the Indy, is that the same type of racing that we're going to see, or we won't see, but is in Detroit this week into the Grand Prix?
Yes, I believe both of those are IndyCar
series.
I don't know the most about it, to be completely honest, but I do know that they are going to be, actually not even Belle Island, where they're going to be racing down Jefferson. Nothing says Detroit like that.
Right. Yep. And then I guess we should introduce our guest for the show today.
Yes, we should.
A great person to bring in, wide knowledge of sports, well known in the accounting area. Nick Feeger, welcome to the show, man. I think it's your second appearance on this show.
Yeah, long time listener, second time caller now.
What's going on with you, man? Anything interesting to report?
No, I'm going down to Nashville this weekend. That's gonna be pretty fun. Big group, gonna be super exciting. Who knows what's gonna happen. Yeah, excited to be on the
podcast. Yeah, yeah, we're excited to have you. So nothing too crazy with this episode for everybody. Going to kind of carry along like we have been the last couple weeks as far as a recap on the week that was in the NBA and NHL playoffs. We're going to talk about the house settlement, which is schools are now going to be paying players. I know we just kind of, I think it was 3 weeks ago now, just absolutely drilled your ears with NIL talk, but you're going to hear a little bit more of it today. And then we're going to go through something we missed last week, which was the release of the NFL schedule. Go over the Lions, quick points, and maybe some of the general Big bullet points as far as the schedule for 2024 in the NFL. So where do we want to start? NBA or NHL?
You want to start with the NIL stuff? Just get that out of the way.
Yeah, we can start there. Since we last talked, it's kind of made headway. I feel like it's one of those things though where it's like it made headway and then I kind of forgot about it until we hopped on. I was like, okay, we should probably talk about this. This house case was something I think I kind of mentioned it during our deep dive into NIL, was former players actually suing for essentially back pay that they should have been paid for their services as a collegiate athlete in the past. That case finally settled after, I believe, 2 years of litigation. The result, not only are those players going to be getting back pay in some capacity, I'm not sure what the actual numbers are. But current players on collegiate rosters are going to be paid directly by the schools. $20 million salary cap is what it's going to be, and it's looking more and more like minor league sports.
I don't understand why they have to go to school. If they're getting paid money, why are they not just employees at this point? Let them go play football. Don't need to go to class. Don't waste a scholarship on anybody. Just pay them money to go play there.
I kind of agree. I think you should kind of have this option. Like they're just going to be like any other employment contract. If part of what your consideration for being a football player at Michigan State, if you want to make $200,000 doing that, you should be able to do that. If you want to make $160,000 doing that and get a $40,000 education as a part of that, you should be able to bargain for that. And the school, that's something the school should, you know, and they don't have to, but should and can offer. I think you can kind of have it both ways where you can that can be part of your consideration for being a football player. Now that we're paying salaries, it doesn't have to like consideration doesn't have to be just like monetary. You can be compensated through services like an education. But like you said, I think they should kind of have the option if the player wants that or not. So I agree.
I agree as well. I do say though, I don't think you make it a blanket, hey, you're not going to school anymore, because for the vast majority of these athletes, there is not professional sports on the horizon. There is not a professional career. So they should still take advantage of a degree that they can go use and then go work at whatever major donor's firm is also tied with that university. But I definitely understand the premise, and you are correct where if we've gotten to a point where we are talking about direct salary or direct contract payments from a university to a player that is an employee, doesn't matter how many different ways you try and spin it, that is an employee. And for some of them, and maybe it does move on. Maybe that is the next step of, hey, school optional, Cardale Jones, plop that tweet back onto everyone's contract and just say, sign here, man.
Well, I think there should be two different like boxes. You either get paid X amount of money and you're on your own, you're an employee, you pay for your own housing, you pay for everything, you pay for your education if you want to go, or you box in a second way where maybe you accept less money, but you get that full scholarship, or like you're going to college, you're getting free classes. Because the people who don't want to go to school, they might take the $150,000. I'll pay for everything I have to pay for, but I'll just go there and playing football is my only job, versus someone who might say, I'll take 20,000 cash, but I want everything paid for, all my housing, cost of living to be a college athlete. I think there should be two different kind of sections that you opt into.
I would like that as a development.
Yeah, I don't even think it has to be. I think it can be, you could divide it even into more subcategories where it's just like, that's why I think like it's just so dangerous. And it's what I talked about with the like them trying to unionize as we go forward with them being employees. It's just going to be so tricky to me because you have to have a group. But like, what is that group when they have extremely unequal bargaining power between high-level football players and essentially every other sport? Where how can we have a minimums or standards for player contracts when they just can't and don't offer the same things, unfortunately, from a monetary standpoint to the schools? It's just that's where I just see this getting so tricky. I know that's where kind of the salary cap comes in. I guess one last thought I wanted to kind of throw out there for you guys is I've seen a lot of people complain that this is just only going to make the rich richer. But with these kind of salary caps, Don't you feel that, yes, the Alabamas of the world are going to save the Alabamas of the world by being able to pay for the top recruits? But now, like, a Michigan State is going to be able to invest in that 3 or 4 star kid and pay him more than he would get if he went to that top Alabama school. Am I off there, or is that a line of thinking that you guys agree
I
with?
guess my question is, does this 20 million from schools, if it doesn't replace NIL, I don't think it changes
Yeah,
anything because you
that's my
still
question.
have an uncapped, untapped, hey, our donors have a business, and that
Right.
business says that this kid's going to make 1.5 and he's not going to count against that salary cap. You go take care of the 4 stars. So I think your first point is probably the one that it is going to be. This is another tool for Alabama's, Ohio State's, Georgia's to kind of abuse and just further the gap and kind of push us closer and closer to a kind of subdivision of the NFL where your top 32 schools or your top 40 schools are going to join the ACC or join the SEC, join the Big Ten, and then break away from the NCAA.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because I think the other issue, like you said, if there's no cap and it's just 20 million coming from the school's pocket, what's to stop the school from going after these 5 stars and then relying on your boosters? And all of a sudden you go from, oh, our boosters don't want to give that much money, to the school might just say, fuck it. I want to make however much money and pay all these players.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess I hadn't even factored in the NIL portion because something I had heard on a podcast was just kind of like, oh, well, the money's just going to come from the schools where it probably should have and not from the boosters. Like, the boosters shouldn't have had to pay for their better football teams in the first place. But if they were already doing it like now, what's going to stop them in this new regime from doing it moving forward as far as like continuing to provide that NIL at those top schools? So, I guess it's just not something I considered. Any other, I guess that's kind of all I have on this stuff for now, unless you guys want to add anything.
It'll be interesting for the small schools like Eastern and Western, where they're giving out NIL deals. Are they going to be able to pay? And like Michigan State might just take all those Eastern Western kids with this extra $20 million that they might have laying around.
Yeah, I saw something super funny. This is kind of pre the salary cap thing I saw. What if a school like Harvard that just has like a billions of dollars in endowments is just dropping money on every recruit in the country, and all of a sudden you get Harvard running around like they're Alabama?
You got Jerry Jeudy in a Harvard class.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I actually want to go back to a point you just made, Nick, with what's going to happen to the little schools. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, those little schools resort to payments from the big schools just to keep their lights on. So
Yeah.
where are these $20 million going to come from? Just because I'm allowed to pay that now doesn't mean I have it. So I think this is maybe another kind of, like I said, nail in the coffin of the little mom and pop lemonade stands. They don't work anymore in this big business driven world.
Is the 20 million just for like, it's on by sport, right? Like, hypothetically, could Florida Atlantic just sink $20 million in their basketball team and just not pay anybody in football?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
Because that'll really impact the like March Madness when you need 5 players per team, basically. You can pay each one
Yeah.
$4 million. Only the big dogs in the Big Ten SEC have all the players.
That'd be
Yeah,
so
that can't be right.
cool. If you just said to hell with everything else.
Tom Izzo would still refuse to use the transfer portal.
No.
Sissoko would still be out there every tip-off.
Jeez, or we got to be done with that.
Sissoko's—he transferred. Where did he end up? Cal?
I think so. That
All I know
sounds
is
about right.
AJ Hogard went to Vandy. Like
I
to
did
see
see
him take a
that.
class down there.
Yeah, that's a tough school.
He had to put his shorts on, right?
There's not as acceptive of marijuana there either in that state.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Damn. The classic Hogarth Sissoko strays. Those we're good for
Yeah.
one or two of those a month.
Yeah. Moving on to the playoffs. We'll start with the NBA.
All right.
Vladdy, kind of let you get into your groove here.
Sure. Eastern Conference Finals, the series is already over. I think when we
Yeah.
started last week, they were tipping off the first game as soon as we got off. That's not even really to say a bad thing about the Pacers. That was just the series that most people were expecting. The Pacers factually overachieved due to the fact that their competition died in each of the previous rounds. I guess to give them some credit, though, they did stick with the Celtics for three of those four games. And, you know, maybe a couple shots fall a different way or a ball bounces a different way, a different call. Maybe they steal one or two of those games and maybe we could still be playing, but this was never going to be a real series. The Celtics move on to the final. I don't think they needed to use Kristaps Porzingis at all. He should be back healthy for the finals, and they'll be rested. And this is a team that I've talked about in the past, where you got to learn how to lose before you can win. This is a team that's learned how to lose the last 5, 6 years, with Eastern Conference Finals appearances down the trot and losing majority of them. One of the one Finals appearance where they lost. So they'll be kind of, I think, comfortable favorites over whoever they do end up playing.
Two things about the Celtics before you move on. How do you respond to people that say the East was a joke this year
It was a joke.
and that maybe they wouldn't be having this type of path in the West?
I mean, that's a fact. Like,
Okay.
to say that they could not have made it out of the West, I think is just as dumb as saying that they didn't, like, they played a real schedule, because look, Giannis dead, Embiid hurt, Knicks dead, Jimmy Butler didn't play.
That was okay. That was my next one is what about the fact that the team's best player that they played in each series was out for multiple games in all three
I know,
series?
absolutely. That's absolutely factually true. It's just they are a very good team. They have the best record in the league. It's not going to be some magical, oh, you're going to go to the West and get swept by the eight seed. I don't think that would have been a true thing. But I also don't think they would have been, what, 12-2 in the playoffs had they been in the West. So I think there's a middle ground there.
Okay. And in the West?
So Western Conference Finals, the Minnesota Timberwolves kind of starved off the sweep last night. I think it's been an interesting series. It's pretty much been a battle of which superstar duo plays better on any given night. Kyrie and Luka kind of had the first three games last night. Karl-Anthony Towns and, more importantly, Anthony Edwards decided to wake up and play basketball, so good for them. I do think it's also kind of interesting. Dallas has trailed in the final 5 minutes of each of the games, and then have kind of been able to just put it together. And I think that's just maybe a testament to the fact they have two closers and two maybe more tested closers, if you will. I mean, Kyrie, obviously, he's not a young spring chicken anymore. He's been there. He's won titles. He's closed series before. And then Luka, his second conference finals appearance in 3 years. Whereas on the other side, I've mentioned this before, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, while he's a gifted player, he's always kind of been a soft guy. I mean, you had the Jimmy Butler times where, like, he's sitting there punching teammates. And then with the Anthony Edwards thing, as much praise as he's earned, he is still 22, so it'll take him some time. That's where I think Dallas has truly benefited. Both of these teams kind of have some great defense. They've got the rim protection bigs, and I just think that the Kyrie Luka duo has been better so far. Do I think that means that they'll magically kind of take game five? I don't know. Minnesota actually re-remembered how to play defense last night, which is actually kind of interesting to watch. They were all over them, and it kind of made life very, very difficult for those two. Obviously, I don't know. I kind of threw out at the beginning of the series, I said, I think the Wolves are a better team on paper, but give me the Mavs in six, and I'll stick with that prediction from 2 weeks ago, where, or I guess last week. Give me Luka and the Mavs to take care of business when the series comes back to Dallas, and that'll be in game six on Saturday.
I'll give you a hot take. I think the Timberwolves are going to win the series.
Oh boy.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
think Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards could play, especially Karl-Anthony Towns, could play as bad as he did in games one through three. And like you said, Vlade, they were winning with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
With basically what their top two scorers both playing below average. I think the Mavs pretty much are a Luka and Kyrie show. And I guess PJ Washington's hit some big shots, but like, I think the Timberwolves are going to come back in seven. If they win games, obviously, you got to win game five first. They win game six, I see no way they lose game seven.
Especially with Lively out for what looks like the rest of the series, too.
No, they said Lively is ramping up to play game five unless
Oh,
something's
okay.
changed. But that's what they were talking about on the broadcast for game four, was that he avoided the concussion. It's just some like muscle thing in his neck that was like keeping him from being able to like truly, truly perform. So I guess I would assume that maybe they take it cautious with game five and just say, you know what, you want to get some minutes just to see what how it reacts, go for it, but we're not gonna play you as some full-time player, and maybe they're treating this as a game six as their game as well. But I know what you mean, Nick. Like I said, I do think on paper from 1 to 8 or 1 to 7 rotation wise, I think the Timberwolves are better. But it's a star-driven league, and Luka's still the best player in this series.
I agree. I just think in the NBA, and it makes no sense to me, but it seems like home court advantage is like
Gone.
it's the most important in any sport. Like teams win a lot of games at home. If they lose game, if the Mavs lose game six at home, I don't say you can turn around on the road at Minnesota after losing three straight and win that game. That just, I guess the Heat did it last year, but it just doesn't seem
I
likely to
mean,
me.
they already won the first two games in Minnesota. I know what you're saying, game seven's different than game one, but I do think that with how skilled these kind of teams and these players have gotten, I do think that, like with most other sports, I think home field advantage or home court advantage has lost a little bit of its luster just because they don't really care what these guys are screaming at anymore. They know how good they are.
I don't know, NBA players, they're pretty soft with fans.
One thing I'll add on the West, I love Anthony. I would almost wish there was a sweep for two reasons. One, I don't know if you guys saw Anthony Edwards' comments after game three, I think it was, and he said, "Yeah, I still don't think they've beaten us," after they had gotten beaten three times in a row and hadn't won a game. I love that. He's kind of the ultimate confidence guy as far as some of his quotes. He thinks he
Oh
can
yeah.
do everything.
Yeah. He had some similar stuff in game forward during the pregame warmups. He's just sitting there screaming, "Oh, they better beat us tonight." It's like, okay, like they've done it three times already. I do think part of that just is the kind of the personality, and that's how he hypes himself.
Yeah. The other thing is, I would have loved to sweep. Because the NBA, no matter what, is not going to start the NBA Finals. I don't know if either of you guys saw this until January 6th. So
January 6th is a long ways away.
they could have
January,
had
oh my God.
nine days,
You mean
9 days without a
900?
game. Sorry, we all talked at once. What were you guys saying?
I thought it was June 6th, not January 6th.
Sorry, June 6th.
I
It
thought
is
that's when
June
we stormed the
6th.
Capitol.
No, that's why that was in my head. Sorry, June 6th.
Living back your memories. Good flashbacks.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God.
But they could have gone nine. Anyways, they would have gone 9 days without a game.
That is wild. It makes no sense. Well, imagine like the takes the announcers would have or the commentators would have if they had 9 days to fill up of empty airtime.
Oh,
Oh,
they would.
Stephen A would have an
Jason
aneurysm.
Tatum, the all-time GOAT, if he wins this one. That'd be a debate they'd have at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is
To the
Luka
NHL?
Doncic? Yeah, we can go to the NHL. I think I talked a lot of shit about the second round, not really being that interesting. And the conference finals have kind of delivered. You've had four overtime games out of one, two, three. Why am I, can't I do math? What's 3 plus 4? 7 games. Four of them have been overtime games. I'll start in the East. Nick, interject whenever you want. After kind of getting dominated in what was actually like the Panthers playing their game to a T, I've said it on this podcast 100 times. I think they're just kind of built for the playoffs, and they were in game one, 3-0. The Rangers have won since, won three overtime games. They almost blew what was one of the better games of the playoff on Sunday afternoon, almost blew a 4-2 lead before getting it back in overtime. And it's kind of been a surprise to me as far as the Rangers so far. And what they've done to Florida, because I kind of thought the way these two teams matched up, that Florida would just kind of be able to bully New York, and that hasn't necessarily been the case.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are head and shoulders above the Rangers, but it seems like the Rangers, I mean, Lafreniere's been, I know he's the first overall pick, but he's been a breakout star of the series. Every time he's got
Yeah.
the puck, he's making plays. It's kind of like the Panthers
Trucks
know they're
people
better,
too.
they just cannot play it.
Yeah. And it helps. I've said it a lot that hockey, come playoff time, a hot goaltender you can't beat. And Shesterkin has been every bit of that. He kind of stole that game three from them. I think he had like 40 something saves in that overtime win. He's been, after it almost looked like at one point, him and Quickie were kind of going back and forth, and Shesterkin was kind of average, but he's really gotten back on track and has outplayed his kind of rushing counterpoint in Bobrovsky, who's also one of the best goaltenders in the league.
Yeah, I would argue. I mean, I know we haven't covered the West yet, but you'd probably have three of the top five goalies in hockey left. And then you got Stuart Skinner suiting up for Edmonton. But like Ottinger, Bobrovsky, and Shesterkin have all been tough to score on and have all kept their teams in pretty much every game they've played.
Yeah, I think the only other names you would probably put in that category are maybe like a why am I blanking on
I would throw in like Vasilevsky and
I was gonna say Swayman, and why am I blanking on the guy from, he had a bad playoff, but the guy from Winnipeg.
Swayman.
Yep, Hellebuck. I'd kind of throw those two in that conversation as well. Maybe even like a Saros or a Demko, but probably not, but up there. But yeah, I think the Panthers are a team. We've kind of seen it obviously last year. They got in as a wild card team, made it all the way to the cup finals, that they're not going to go down without a fight. I do think they'll get this next one tomorrow night, and then the Rangers will kind of go from there. But down 3-1 right now, not looking good for the Panthers with Cats.
Well, speaking of those goalies, this just popped in my head. When the Olympics roll around and Russia's figuring out who they want to start, where do you go with Bobrovsky, Sorokin, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky? I mean, you got a murderer's row of goalies there.
Yeah, it
Trade
kind
one
of
to
has been
Canada.
their thing. I would assume Bobrovsky. When is the next Olympics that they're going to actually play in?
They got 2026, but they got the 2025 World Cup of Hockey they're setting up.
Are they
Yeah.
actually allowed to play in that though, or are they still banned from all
Yes.
sports because of the Ukraine stuff?
They're like
Oof.
not doing an all-star game instead of that.
I don't know if the
Oh,
Russian
Russia will
invaded.
not be in that. Yeah, sorry.
Nah, that's dumb. They didn't invade anybody. The players didn't.
I was gonna say, what? There you go. 2026. Say that Russian team is allowed to play in 2026. I would assume you could kind of count for Bro I it'd have to be Shesterkin's net at that point. I think you could kind of count Vasilevsky and Bob Bobrovsky out for age, maybe. Same with Sorokin. I think he's a little older as well. I think it would probably in that list be Shesterkin's net with whoever's still standing age-wise as his backup. To the West, another good series. This one's 2-1 Dallas right now. They're going to play game four tonight. I don't know. Dallas has kind of, when they've wanted to, been able to outbully Edmonton. McDavid's been special. Draisaitl has not. And it's kind of been whether the supporting cast wants to come. Like it's like what you it's like it's a broken record with this Edmonton team. Game one, Dallas gets the win. Edmonton's able to tie it up in game two. Game three, Edmonton goes out to a 2-0 lead in the first period and absolutely just gets curb stomped in the following two periods by this Dallas team. I don't know. This Dallas team is so interesting. I've said it 100 times. They're the perfect mix of young guys like Wyatt Johnson and Stankoven, even Jason Robertson. I guess you wouldn't call him young, but still a player at 24 years old. And then with veteran talent like Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, who's come on and played a tremendous role for this team as a veteran in this playoff series, in this series in particular. It feels like he wins a lot of battles down low, has been doing his job. And the Oilers just, I just think they have too many defensive breakdowns to be able to win this series against just such a disciplined and heavy Dallas team. But they're just kind of outmatched. And just Dallas is more of a playoff team than Edmonton is. That's what it's come down to.
I think it's interesting too with Dallas and Edmonton, at least for myself personally. Like, Dallas, while they were one of the best teams in hockey this year, is not like a major draw where you heard a lot about them. And they kind of almost came in the playoffs under the radar despite having whatever 112, 113 points. And I think Edmonton's kind of the opposite, where obviously they started slow, but you've heard a lot about them. But because they're
Yeah.
in Edmonton, you don't really see them a lot on the East Coast. And now that they're on TV, I think it's kind of obvious, at least for me, that they do have a lot of glaring holes, especially on defense. I mean, apart from Ekholm plays pretty tough and Bouchard's been a star this playoffs, their defense leaves a lot to be desired, and you don't really hear about that during the regular season when they're outscoring teams 6-5. But when you're getting, 5-4, 4-2 games in the playoffs, it really makes your defense kind of stand out, and it shows what a weakness they really had the whole year.
Yeah, and if Florida were to end up coming back and say Dallas keeps it going, you mentioned smaller market with Dallas. That could be one of the least marketable Stanley Cup finals ever if Dallas plays Florida.
While being one of the best in recent memory, I mean, those are probably the two highest point earning teams from each side.
I mean, I think it would be the second, and I think both of those are technically the second seeds in their conference. I think the Rangers are one, and I
Vancouver.
forget. Vancouver was one in the West?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that was right. Okay. But another thing I want to add about Dallas is that Dallas going to be Title Town?
It's possible. It's like once you win in one sport, it brings nothing but good vibes for other sports.
And it's actually perfect because Dallas is a super likable city as far as their sports teams, except for the one team that is not going to win a title in this year, the Dallas Cowboys.
Agreed.
The Rangers won the World Series, and then we got both teams possibly playing in a finals here as early as next week. That would be the perfect situation for non-Dallas people that you could get behind a small market. I wouldn't say a small market, but not a New York, LA, Chicago. Boston being like winning championships like this, as long as it weren't the Dallas Cowboys, and that's the case. So go Dallas, Title Town.
Speaking of that series, I like when Edmonton, their national anthem guy, goes in the crowd, sings like two lines, and just lets the crowd take over. It's kind of sick.
I haven't seen that. That is
He does it every game. He's got a big dude with a big
I
beard.
so they've had a this is a non-hockey thing, but they've had some interesting like guests at their games. I don't know if you saw the clip of like Travis Kelce and Bryson DeChambeau yelling at each other in a press box, but like just weird stuff going on at those games. Yeah, just thought I'd add that for the social people.
Was
I'm a
that
big
better
sports
or
fan.
worse than, is that better or worse than when Brooks Koepka's coked out of his mind just staring at the camera?
Yeah, that's true. That what was that, the Panthers last year?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a big peas fan.
He was just, yeah, peace. That
Yeah,
was when he like, what do you like, yell at Ekblad and like Ekblad told him to stop or something like that. I don't know.
wasn't that also right off of his win at the PGA Championships? He was kind of on top of the world.
Yeah, that clip was he had like gotten into like shit with one of the players like earlier in the like in the winter, and then he had kind of like resurrected that by coming back and having that awesome clip of him just clapping and not even being able to blink after he won the PGA. So. That's enough hockey talk because it kind of got interlinked with some golf. Moving forward, the NFL schedule came out pretty sick. Is there a sport, and I know that they only play 17 games and everybody else plays a lot more, but there's no other sport where fans, they've just perfectly marketed and put their eyes on every little thing in their off season now. It's
Yep.
brilliant.
Oh yeah. Drafts become an event. I mean, to an extent, training camps have become an event with like kind of their days when the fans are present. But completely agree. Nick, we talked about kind of what the talking heads on the media need to do to fill time. I mean, they've got schedule release stuff for a week, and there actually is stuff to talk about, which is like you say, it's perfect what the NFL's done. They've completely branched out and just taken over everything. They've got their Christmas Day games this year. They've got New Year's games. They push things. They flex things. They got games in Brazil. I mean, how do we want to start with this? Do we just want to do a couple things from like the NFL one overall before we get to the Lions or?
Well, I'll share one thought real quick. I think the cool thing about the NFL compared to any other sport is the NFL is like a one day at a time, you tune in for everything. Like your team plays once a week. There's one day where the schedule is released. I mean, obviously the draft's a 3 day thing, but there's one day of the draft. And then the whole time between that is like everyone's excited for that one day versus other sports where it's like you play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You forget about like where you are in the season. and like you kind of monitor it from afar versus football, where it's like every single day you're keeping up with what's going on. And I think that's why the schedule release is so big, is like it's the next day in the NFL schedule.
Yeah, almost like they have so much time to, they just get so much filler time that they can build up anticipation for their event even more so than other sports can.
Exactly.
I guess with the schedule release, a couple things that I had noted before getting into the Lions, Ravens and Chiefs will kick off the season. You've got the Eagles and Packers playing a week one game in Brazil. And then the last thing that I saw, I don't know if you guys had as well, but have you seen the Steelers' final eight games of their season?
No.
It is all six of their division games,
Oh my gosh.
the Chiefs and the Eagles.
They better be freaking
Better let Russ cook.
9-0 going into that.
Yeah, I guess I just thought it was interesting. Obviously, that's about as hard of an eight game gauntlet as you can get. And the second thing is, I've never seen a team not have a division game that far into a season.
Yeah, that's good. It's like talking about like having a really late bye week is like having no division games, because there's six games, right? Like that's literally a third of the schedule as far as the weeks go. To not have them, to be them, have them all built into the last third is, I can't, I just like, I don't think that's really fair, to be honest.
Honestly, I could probably go with that as well. It was just something I saw that I thought was pretty cool.
Especially when you play in that division too. That's one of the toughest in football.
Get to the Lions.
Get to the Lions.
So I guess I'll start with the overall thing before we go game by game. I don't necessarily hate the Lions schedule, but I don't love it either. We have an early bye week, which I don't like because that sends you up for that little 12, 13, 14 week gauntlet of just having no time off. But on the flip side, there's only three outdoor games, and one of those is in California, so that kind of negates the weather there. And I think kind of with the whole divisions thing, I think we kind of drew some favorable divisions. I don't think the AFC South is exactly murderer's row. And then I think we have the NFC West as well, which, okay, three of those four teams were better than objectively, and the fourth one, go flip a coin. So
Yeah, my initial thought too was kind of piggybacking off of that, was I actually thought for being a first place schedule, it was not nearly as bad as I was expecting.
no.
And you mentioned that's mostly because of who you get as far as the division draws. And the AFC South has four teams that probably shouldn't be in the playoffs, besides maybe the Texans. Maybe see the Jag. Who knows what the Jaguars are this year? They're just a melting pot of mess. But yeah, I guess my next thought that I wanted to talk about is the NFL has recognized that the Lions are here. They have six primetime games. Literally a third of their schedule is on primetime. I know some of that is they're just finding new ways to make primetime shit.
That's
Like
also
I believe
true.
I think one of them is a, oh no, no Christmas game. Okay. But obviously that helps when you get to Thanksgiving Day. You open up on Sunday night. There's a Monday night game. There's two Thursday night games. Oh, sorry. One Thursday night game, another Monday night game in week 17, and very well could possibly be a flex game in week 18. Although I don't see the Vikings really being an opponent that would be flexed, maybe given the Lions situation.
Yeah. Nick,
I
any
like
thoughts
that
for yeah.
our like our Thursday night games and our Monday games. We have two Thursdays back to back, but we don't really have any short weeks apart from the
That's good.
Thanksgiving week. I think that helps a lot in terms of kind of keeping everybody fresh, as opposed to like I think the Jets start out with three games in 10 days with Aaron Rodgers coming off a torn Achilles. Like that's a really easy way to lose guys early in the season, playing that many games that quickly. The Lions obviously don't have to deal with that this year.
So let's go game by game, I guess. Open the season week one, Rams at home.
Win.
Fucking better
Like,
be.
that'd be a tough one to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what are your thoughts on just maybe a storyline, but what are your thoughts on Stafford coming home? Do you think it's time for him to kind of get his cheers, whereas last year it was more of a, hey, this is business? Or do you think he should get booed? Where would you guys kind of stand?
I'd boo him. He
I don't
didn't
know.
win anything for us.
But I don't know if that means you boo him. I don't love the booing somebody that was there for that long, even though he didn't win anything. But I also don't lo love the like him getting mad about it. I just kind of don't like either side, I guess, of that coin. But I actually kind of think it's like just a nothing burger at this point. He's already been back. Like he gets maybe a round of applause when they call his name, and that's it. Like I don't think it's any big. It's over. Like the big deal is over. This is his second time back now.
Yeah, I just think that first of all, personally, I'm with Nick. I've always hated that guy. Not always for his own fault. Sometimes it was just the media and the people around him thinking he was the greatest quarterback ever because he was the first guy to not be trash, but not
Super Bowl
trash is not
champion.
great. Okay, great, man. Congrats.
Hall of Famer.
If it was up to me,
And
no.
check downs with a minute left in the game.
Hall of Famer.
What do you have? 3,000 yards in one season from check downs down by 50?
Okay, but his stats, when it's all said and done, and being a Super Bowl champion, it's going to be hard to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
No, I agree he will get in, but he to me is in that Joe Flacco, Eli Manning class of guys that'll get in that have no
No,
business being in there.
he's better than
Eli
that.
Manning was never a top five quarterback in football. He should not be in the Hall of Fame.
No. I am agreeing. I think Stafford's above that
Stafford
class.
is Joe Flacco,
He is.
but on a team that didn't win.
No. He's Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess Joe, they both throw really pretty footballs too. Some of the
Yeah,
prettier footballs you'll ever see.
always like nice balls.
Oh, God. All right, Buccaneers at home week two. Win.
Win,
Like
they're going to be
now.
trashed. I feel like Baker's going to come down to earth this year.
Yeah, no Dave Canales to sit there and be a QB whisperer. I could see that.
Yeah. No more handsome coordinators on this team.
That guy, I don't know why that guy got into our head, Connor, last year. That was funny, though.
Like, this guy's way too good looking to be a football coach.
He was a model. He was not a coach. Cardinals on the road. Win.
Win.
They're better than them.
It's a
I do
sneaky game,
think
though.
that what?
It's a sneaky game. Kyler
No, it
Murray is
is.
not a bad quarterback.
He's not a bad quarterback, and he's the exact type of quarterback that Dan Campbell, or I say Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions have never been able to play against.
Yeah.
He can run, and I do think that the Cardinals are, they drastically improve their team, obviously, when you're as bad as they were pre Kyler Murray getting or coming back. You can never really go down again, but I think they're better than people give it credit for. And for some reason, we always play the Cardinals on the road. I don't understand why.
Inside.
Yeah.
We're inside too.
I mean,
True.
next game, the Seahawks at home.
When?
It better be, but we say that every year and they beat us.
Think Sam
No, this is our
Howell's going to
year.
be their quarterback for that game. I think Geno Smith is going to get benched 2 or 3 weeks in. That's Sam Howell's football team.
That'd be bad for my fantasy team.
Connor, you're tanking. That's good for your fantasy
There's
team.
no saving that team, man.
That'd be good for my fantasy team.
Get all those bets off your team, man.
Yeah, we're talking about the Lions right now.
Fair enough. Then we go into the bye week. That's rather unfortunate. Cowboys on the road after the bye. I think the placement is
When?
interesting. See, I think the placement of the game helps us coming off the bye, so we're kind of rested. But I do think that Cowboys on the road, for me, is a loss.
I think
5-0.
I think over the first five games, we should be 4-1. I think that loss either comes at Arizona or at Dallas.
Yeah, I think it could be a similar situation to last year where we all thought we were losing to the Chiefs and beating the Seahawks, and then there was kind of very diverse reactions based on both games. So I could see that 4-1 after the Cowboys, and you don't really know where that loss is going to be because it's the NFL. Connor, you're sticking with win?
Yep.
Any thoughts on why?
I think the Cowboys are going to take a step back this year. The pressure is on. This is kind of the last year of that regime. And I just feel like they're going to go all out Cowboys and go like 9-8 this year.
But could the argument be that this is contract years for the regime, so they'll actually be good?
This is also a very valid argument.
I'm just throwing out devil's advocate. I kind of like I kind of like the take of 4-1 after the Cowboys, and you don't know where that loss will be. But
5-0.
I love it. Vikings on the road, win,
Win.
great.
JJ McCarthy is going to be their quarterback. They might not win a game in 2024.
The win.
Talk about checkdowns.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know what's funny though? He might not be their quarterback. If he can't,
True.
like, he was always considered the project. If this is still Sam Darnold's team, I mean, even better for us.
Sam Darnold, not that bad.
He's still seeing ghosts.
Not
Dickinson's seeing.
that he's not that bad at macking with girls who give him diseases in New York City.
The fuck
Good
is
skill to
that?
have.
He got mono for making out with the girl when he was on his rookie year with the Jets.
He also destroyed the Detroit Lions his rookie year with the Jets.
Tomato,
Did mono
tomato.
ruin his career?
Pretty much.
Oh, God. All right.
Leave them Broadway girls at home.
Titans at home win.
When they're going to
This
be
is.
the doormat of the NFL this
Yeah,
year.
honestly, I was about to say this is probably the game I'll feel the strongest about. I don't believe it in Will Levis. I don't believe in running around with Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins in 2024. That offensive line, while they invested money into it, that's on paper. We got to see what it does. And I don't think the defense is what it was under Vrabel the last half decade.
You guys think they're
Yeah,
the
you.
format?
Yeah, I think when your biggest story in this offseason is your quarterback sex tape getting leaked, it's not a good offseason.
I think they're borderline playoff.
Oh my God, we are
I
all
don't
over the
think they're going to
place.
win three games.
They don't play anybody.
What's
You
their
tell me they're, I mean, they played New England, terrible. That's
loss?
the doormat.
Loss.
Chargers, that's the
Loss.
doormat. Minnesota,
Loss,
doormat.
loss,
Washington, doormat.
loss,
Chicago, Caleb Williams' first week of his
loss.
career. I think that,
Oh,
I
and
don't think the
five.
division's that good. I see 7 or 8 wins.
That's interesting because I'm not going to go throw out auto L's the way Connor is, because that is a torrid rookie-filled quarterback kind of schedule. But I just don't think the Titans are very good.
I don't know. It's a good offense. They're gonna have a good offense this year.
No break Mike Vrabel anymore.
What did
All
he do
right.
for them?
Take them to
Made the playoffs, but
the AFC
they
title game.
weren't.
Get out of here. Does
Yeah.
he go on the field and throw the ball?
Oh my gosh. He
right.
stands on the sideline and claps. Go back to the Lions.
All right. Packers on the road.
Win.
Jesus, Connor, what are you gonna what?
Yeah, it's a loss.
I've got a loss
Eight, you
there.
can't win every
eight no.
divisional game.
What?
8-0. I think Jordan Love is actually not that good.
So I will give you some valid points where everyone has always talked about the concept of in the NFL people watch tape and you can do it once, but can you do it again? And I feel like that's kind of just been like cast aside for Jordan Love. Everyone's like, oh, he studied under Rodgers. It's like that was the first time he's played more than 2 games in a season. Let's hold it. So I agree with that,
Yeah.
but I do think the Packers are a pretty complete team. So I've got a loss there.
That's a loss.
Eight no.
Oh, God. Texans on the road.
Loss.
Win.
I've got a loss.
We finally lose one in week nine.
Nick, you care to explain why you think it's a win?
I think CJ Stroud's good, but I think Houston overachieved last year pretty drastically because it seemed like they had a whole kind of slew of characters come out of nowhere and put up really good seasons. I think the league's adjusted to them. My other take with Houston, I don't know. They're a playoff team this year.
Oh, because the Titans are going to beat them out. Because the Titans are going to beat them out in
The
the
division
division race.
Jaguars are going to run away with that division. But
No.
I do think going down to Houston, I
That's
mean,
what
it's
we
on
said the
Sunday
last 2 years.
night. What's that?
We said the Jaguars are going to run away with the division the last 2 years.
They won it 2 years ago. And they lost by a game last year. Not the
That's
game
not
of
running
last
away
year.
with it.
They're going to run away with it this year. You heard it here first. I think going down on a Sunday night to Houston's tough, but I also don't think it's like a tough environment to play in.
No.
So I like that. I think that's a big win we get to kind of make up for a loss versus, like, let's say an Arizona or somebody that we shouldn't lose to.
I just think that that offense is too high powered. Whether Mixon is washed or not, I think he's got enough juice left for one season, be an upgrade on what Devin Singletary and Dameon Pierce last season. You bring in Stephon Diggs. You have that second year of familiarity for Stroud, and I think that the same point I just made about Jordan Love does absolutely kind of factor in here as well. This is year two. People have tape on him now. They'll pick up on tendencies, but I just think that from an offensive perspective, I think that they are kind of one of the leaders, if you will, in the NFL for just kind of.
I think the Texans are playing the first ever game on Netflix, I want to say, this year.
Yeah, that's a Christmas Day game, yeah.
But then, unrelated back to what you were saying, the Stephon Diggs really make a difference? I mean, yeah, Tank Dell and Nico Collins lighting it up last year. Now you've got a guy coming in who's known to cause problems. He's going to demand the ball from Stroud. Does that get in Stroud's head? I got to force feed him the ball. I don't think Stephon Diggs is a big addition. I think, if anything, it's going to hurt their offense and kind of make it go a bit stagnant.
I think it's a big addition, but I think you're right that it can hurt the offense.
I think that Stroud has such a grip on that kind of locker room and damn near city at that point of just like with the leadership qualities that I don't think it changes anything. I think it is truly an addition for him.
But do you
You
think
don't talk
Josh
shit
Allen
about
didn't have
Stroud
that
to
grip?
Cloudy. What?
Do you think Josh Allen did not have that grip on the locker room? Because, like, he runs Buffalo and
I mean,
Stephon Diggs still boot him out of town.
Yes, but I don't think that he. I mean, yes, Josh Allen was that entire team, but I don't think that Josh Allen connected with his players the way CJ Stroud does, and the way kind of CJ Stroud the activities that he comes up with off the field to keep that team kind of playing for him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jags at home win.
When
I think we win that one, but man, no, I like the Jags this year a lot.
I don't know. Maybe this is the guy who just sat or who just sat on Trevor Lawrence in fantasy last season that watched and put up nothing but mid. I don't think that that team is as good as they maybe not necessarily maybe ever were. I just think that the division has caught up to them and they haven't really done a Kansas City type thing to kind of take a stronghold of that division. So I think they'll be competing for a wild card spot in an AFC, but I do think it is the Texans division.
I don't know. I like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, last year they had a great start. Just at the end of the year, people got banged up and they kind of limped to the finish line. But even when you look at their schedule, I mean, I know Burrow was out, but the Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Buccaneers, they lost to four straight playoff teams. I think this year, with a healthier team, there's no reason that they don't make it out of their division.
There. Colts on the road.
When?
When?
Agreed. I what I had circled for this was I think this is one of those games that Lions fans take over, kind of like what we saw all of last
Oh,
season on
yeah.
the road and kind of either close or favorable destinations in terms of travel. I think this is something where as good as kind of Colts fans are, I think that there will be a different shade of blue in the crowd and it will kind of be audible.
I will say this, similar colors, though. So, how are we going to tell?
We got the nicer blue.
Okay.
Bears at home win.
When?
It's a dub. Thanksgiving. Putting it on the moon. If it's a, what is it?
We
Full
suck on
moon.
Thanksgiving.
I don't want the bad moon this year.
True. What is it? The Wax Gibbons thing or
Is it
whatever
the
it's called?
waxing gibbous? I think it's the waxing gibbous that we lose on.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's a waning gibbous that day.
Okay, so someone's got to call up the moon and
I'm
tell
hoping
them
it's a
not to.
full moon.
Not to go with that, but
I bring out my telescope on, like, Wednesday to decide how to bet.
Jesus. Packers at home win.
Loss. It's a win.
What you're gonna take? Connor's all over the place. I
No, he
love it.
doesn't know. He
Bob.
doesn't know anything about this game because that game is on a Thursday, and Green Bay is going to be have a 4-day week and have a full week of rest.
Vibes.
Bills at home
Win.
win.
It's a loss. I don't think we can stop Josh Allen. We have trouble with running quarterbacks. I think he, I mean, obviously he's not as good of a runner as Lamar, but he's the best running, throwing quarterback tandem out there.
I just think that that team has lost too much. I think they went through their 3 or 4 year Super Bowl window with your quarterback on cheap deals. And I think that right now they're kind of paying for it. You lose both of your top two receivers from last year. You lose Jordan Poyer. Tre'Davious White is gone. Micah Hyde is currently not on the roster, though he has said if he's not playing for the Bills in 24, he's going to retire. Their center from last year is gone. Also, fun
I
fact,
think that could be, I think that could be a division. Like, I could see the Bills going to mid or being very good. I could see the Dolphins still not being able to get it done. And I could see the Jets winning 12 games or 6 games. The Patriots will suck no matter what.
Patriots are in kind of a tough place. I just think that the Bills lost so much just because, I mean, the salary cap finally catches up to you with kind of those inflated contracts, and I think that they kind of not necessarily regress majorly because you said Josh Allen is still a sensational player, kind of your kind of the backyard Jesus of I'll do whatever I want and I'm not going to play safe and huck and chuck and it's entertaining to watch, but I do think that the rest of the team around him is not what it was.
I'll caveat too. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but we said the same thing about the Chiefs when they started to kind of lose guys. They lost Tyreek, and it's like, who's Mahomes going to throw to? We had that same issue all year this year.
Yeah, he still
Good
had
quarterbacks
Travis
get it
Kelce.
done.
It's not a bad guy to throw to.
I'll also
Dalton's
say, like,
okay.
Mahomes had won, though. Like,
Yeah,
talking
Mahomes does
about a
have the
two-time
benefit
Super
of.
Bowl champ.
Well, I agree. I'm not saying he's Mahomes. I'm just saying I think it's hard to write off the Bills.
Sure. Also, fun fact, we saw their
I'm writing
starting
him
left
off.
tackle, Deion Dawkins, at our hotel this week in Indy. That was kind of cool.
How was he? Good spirits, ready for the
Actually, yeah,
season?
he's kind of a jovial character.
Okay.
So, good for
Oh
him.
yeah, I have heard he is a character.
Bears on the road.
Loss.
The same here, I
Loss.
have a loss.
Yeah, that's a loss.
I just think that the Lions are always due for a Bears stinker once per season.
I actually
That'll.
think the Bears are going to be the second best team in our division this year.
Ah, man.
I mean, look, if there's ever going to be a place where a rookie quarterback, like, this is the greatest situation for a number one pick QB ever. Like, that's unquestionable. So if
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is half as good as people claim he is, which according to how bad people claimed Justin Fields was, that's still an upgrade at quarterback. You got to think that they take another step forward from that, what, 7-9 season. I mean, they still get to play a last place schedule. I kind of agree. I think this is kind of a sneaky team to play for some playoffs and maybe push for 10, 11 wins.
Agreed.
I just don't see it. I think he holds on to the ball too long. And I think, I mean, maybe it's something he develops in the NFL, but in college, all his plays that you ever really saw him make, where you hold on the ball for 8 seconds, run around and make this insane throw, that doesn't happen in the NFL. Like Patrick Mahomes, you see highlights, but if you watch his games, it's quick 8-yard dump offs. I worry that he either isn't thinking fast enough or he's too, like, just set on, I need the home run play at all times. And I think that could come back to bite him if he doesn't get that under
But can I
control.
give you a counterpoint that I don't think the USC Trojans during his 2 years there had an offensive line that could block three of us, so he kind of had to make plays?
Yeah, but I also think
Agreed.
some of his playmaking, like you watch the highlights, half the time he gets a snap, he drops it to the ground. And it's like, I think he just seems like he's not always all there, and he's looking for like the SportsCenter top 10 play versus just looking for a 5-yard slant.
I just think
Potentially.
that's very teachable to get out of his system fast,
Yeah.
though.
But again, I'd really hope you're correct because that's maybe one less team we need to worry about in this division. But I agree that I think those are some of the simpler things that they can say, hey man, stop thinking like an idiot. This is a team sport. And
But
eventually they get through to his head.
another thing to look at is USC in that bowl. I know it's a bowl game and not all the best players are playing, but the game he didn't play in, their backup quarterback came in at like 450 yards, 6 touchdowns. Is he really that good, or is Lincoln Riley just that good of a college
I
kind of
don't know. I
offensive guru?
refuse. I refuse
Hey,
to buy
he
into
brings
that.
up a good
Sorry.
point. Lincoln Riley ran Kyler Murray. He's got Baker Mayfield. He was there for Jalen Hurts too, wasn't he?
I believe
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Lincoln Riley's put some guys in the league.
He has.
But all right, back to the schedule. 49ers on the road, loss.
It's a loss.
And
Did you just say win, Connor?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Connor's going crazy. I'm gonna need to see your personal
I
attendance.
just yeah. I just think it's I just think it's I think it's a revenge game from the NFC Championship that Dan's got the boys ready to go for that one.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of the schedule makers knew what they were doing when they put this game towards the end of the season because they could kind of sit there and hope that these two teams are playing for seeding when it comes around, and it almost feels like a de facto playoff game. But I do think that the 49ers, barring injury, I'll always say this, I do think they have the best roster in football.
Yeah. Big
Uh,
quarterback.
yeah, yeah. Vikings at home win to end the season.
Win.
Win, but the
Wow,
only
I
thing
was
worries
going
me.
14-3.
Well, I was going to say, Connor, the 13-3, we're probably not going to play anybody against Minnesota.
Oh,
We
yeah,
have
good
positioning
point.
locked up,
Good point.
but I think it's a win because I don't think we're 13-3.
Yeah, I've got us going 12-5 again,
And
and
11-6.
yeah, well, I was going to say, given that this is the NFL and nothing's easy and you kind of drop games you're not supposed to, okay, that's just kind of how it goes. I've got 12-5 right off the bat, but I do see an 11-6 finish when you kind of apply that little law of averages to a dropped game.
I'd like to
Yeah,
add
and
too.
playoffs, I'm predicting a Super Bowl.
Oh my goodness.
I'd like to add too. I think a lot of people will hear 11-6 and think that's like mediocre. I know I've
No.
heard some people say that. 11-6 is a hell of a season.
No, 11-6 is a hell of a season. It let me rephrase. It
Yeah.
almost certainly wins the division. So I don't know. I guess
You're playing
we'll
home
see.
football games in the playoffs at 11-6.
Yes, you can. And then the Packers can beat the Cowboys again and give you a second home football playoff.
There you go.
But
Don't know if I
that's
see
good.
Super Bowl though. I think my Super Bowl pick this year, if we're gonna throw out Super Bowl picks, I like the Bengals a lot. They got the fourth
Oh,
place schedule.
come
Joe
on.
Burrow's back and healthy. If he stays healthy, I don't know who beats the Bengals.
How long? But how long is he going to stay healthy? What's he finished?
I like that pick.
Two of four seasons in his career?
Yeah, but he's on that every other year kind of schedule. So
Fair
it feels
enough.
like this is his year. But
What's
they
gonna
got the
is?
fourth place schedule, and I think that's huge.
But before, so we don't get too far off topic. Is T. Higgins even playing? Has he signed the franchise tag? I don't
If
think
he
he
wants a
has.
Super Bowl, he'll play.
Fair enough. But
He'll
yeah.
play. You can't sit out. I mean, he's still getting paid the average of the top five paid wide receivers. Like, you can't complain about
I
money.
know, but my Super Bowl pick, give me the Texans. I'll ride the CJ Stroud train.
But they might miss the playoffs.
I'm gonna miss
No,
the
stop it. You can
playoffs.
also can't talk crap about CJ Stroud to Vladdy, Nick. That's just
That's
illegal.
my darling.
No, your darling is Kyler Murray, and you know it.
No,
Brother, you
no.
can't talk shit about CJ Stroud, brother.
Justin Fields, that's his boy. He loves Justin Fields.
I love the quarterbacks that get hated on coming out of school. All three of them got hated on.
Kyler
What can I
Murray.
say?
Kyler. Another one.
Oh yeah, but all right. So what, an hour in, pretty good. So those of us who made it that far, let us know what you think the Lions will finish. I'll kind of sign off. This is my last words of go Lions.
Go Lions.
If you see me on the street, let me know if you think the Lions are going to have a shot at winning the Super Bowl. Just tell me.